It's great to see our young men and women and older men and women coming through in the things of God. You know, you start something new, and it's wonderful the testimony of Jesus in this place, in your lives, in the lives of people that God has touched and has brought into that wonderful newness while making us new at the same time. And it's amazing, like, to see your babies and your kids starting to grow. And as you're growing and seeing you maturing in God and taking a hold of the call of God on your life, it's the most incredible thing. As a father in the house, it's one of, you know, when you see our kids as a father, in the natural, when you see our kids starting to talk, and that's why you walk and do new things. That's why you show them off like performance seals to everyone that comes in. Show Auntie Mary how you do the gaga. And you know, or then they learn how to do a new word or spell a word, or look what my little grandson will be able to do with the ball and all that stuff. And you show them off. Why? Because you're proud. Then your kids get older and they go through school and you make good friends, hopefully, and you make good choices in life. They go further education and they're living in the things that that their life is supposed to be lived in. And you're looking at your kids and you're going, my goodness, I thank you, Lord. You don't get jealous of your kids. You get proud of your kids. You don't say, look at my little daughter, she's nicer looking than me. You go, look how beautiful my little girl is. You don't say, look at my son, he's more intelligent than me. You go, wait till I show you what my kid is doing. When I show you what he's achieving in life, or he's a better footballer than me. You don't get jealous. You're not supposed to get jealous. You're supposed to celebrate. And you're supposed to show that off. And that's what I believe God is doing with us. I'm looking at some of us and I'm like, look what God is doing. I tell your story everywhere I go. Everywhere I'm asked to preach, I tell your story. Do you know why? Because I'm proud of you. Because I'm a father who says, look what my father has done in the lives of the children. Keep growing. Keep believing, because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come for each one of us. And the only thing about this now, it keeps going off. I don't know how to sort that out. But last 2 weeks ago, the Lord spoke to me and says that you're going to enter into a season of increase. Anyone remember? A season of increase. And I believe that's the move that we're heading into, and the season that we've headed into. And you know what? Sometimes when you're going into a new season, the transition between seasons is not easy. Oh, well, it's not always easy. It's sometimes it's hard, but that season gets us prepared for the next season. It's even in when the winter is harsh and it's cold, it's still getting the ground ready and everything ready for the springtime. And the springtime is getting the ground and the buds and everything ready for the summer so we can enjoy it. And the seasons open up again and go in the cycle again. And every cycle that we're in every season, don't despise your season. Don't despise where you're at in life if you're in God. But like, Lord, I want to walk with you and move with you, because I know there's a new season on the way. And I want to tell us again that we're entering into a season of increase in God. The Bible talks about, like I said a couple of weeks ago, that the kingdom of God is always increasing. It's always on the increase. When you see in the Bible, Daniel seeing the rock, and he's seen the rock, which is the kingdom, breaking down governments and infiltrating all types of empires throughout history. But the rock grew into a mountain and it was increasing in the earth. And he says that this is the kingdom. And then he says in Daniel, read it, that the kingdom was given to the saints. Us, the people of God. That the kingdom is being given to us. And Jesus came and he compounded all that and expressed that in so many different ways. That the kingdom is always increasing. Jesus says the kingdom is like a piece of yeast. That you put it into the flour and it infiltrates all of the dough. That's God's work in our lives. He gets into our lives, and his passion is, and his goal is that the kingdom of God goes into every aspect of our lives, and that the kingdom is being expressed and seen through you and I. That's why the Bible says that we go from one degree of glory to the next. That's why, because what's that talking about? And that we are being changed into the image of who? Christ Jesus. That his goal is that you and I don't stay the way we are, even though he loves us the way we are, but he loves us enough not to leave us the way we are. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And his passion is that the kingdom of joy is increased into every area of our lives. That the kingdom of righteousness is infiltrated in and put into every area of our life, so we're not bound by anything that's unrighteous. Righteousness and peace. That his heart is that the peace and the borders of the kingdom in our lives is expanded. That if we're in torment, you can bet your bottom dollar that God wants to give you peace. And that's why Jesus says that this is the way I want to show you off. You're like a city on a hill. I want to show you off to the world, just like you would your little girl or your little son. You want to show them off. Remember I talked about when you made your communion, your ma dressed you up and you went around to every door. Why? She wanted to show us off. She wanted to show us off. My ma said to my lovely, yeah, you're lovely, here's tenpence. Do you remember? And the next week your brothers would bring it around again. You're still 16. I can't go around again in that suit. Why? Why are they saying you're lovely? You're lovely. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to show us off his church to the world. He wants to say to the world, he wants to make them jealous of the kingdom. Jesus didn't go around condemning people of their sin. Jesus went around making people jealous of the kingdom. And then they would say, how can I enter this kingdom? You must be born again. He evoked jealousy in them so that they would say, how come you're free? Jesus. Do you remember that, Adele, on Bray, someone that Adele knew? She says, Adele, you look lovely. She goes, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. You're gorgeous. It's Jesus. That's his goal, is to make us beautiful and keep on advancing the kingdom so that the world will go, what is wrong with Mary? Mary got Jesus. Mary got the kingdom. Mary got transformation. So you might say, is it Jesus' heart to set me free? You bet your bottom dollar. Is it Jesus' heart to bring peace where there's madness? You can bet your bottom dollar. He wants to bring it. Increase, increase. That's why he says, we're more than conquerors. That we might conquer something, but the more than conquerors, we conquer something else. And we conquer something else. And then when we conquer that, we start conquering things. We start conquering empires. Or we start conquering communities. And what's over communities? He says that where grace, where sin abounds, grace abounds. The increase of God. I know God spoke to me a while ago and he says, Noel, you find the kingdom of darkness, find where all of its paraphernalia is and put up the kingdom of God and see which wins out. Because where sin abounds, grace abounds. You want the abounding of grace? As a church, we find out where the sin is. The culture of the kingdom is forever increasing. And God wants grace in our lives to be on the increase. The king wants to download strength. And that's what I want to bring to you this morning. What he's pulling on my heart, he wants to release the increase of strength into your life and into my life. That you say, I can't do that. And there's an increase of strength into your life. And you will be doing that. That you will run and not grow weary type of thing. Amen. He wants some of us to be able to overcome obstacles. Some of us to go to a new level in God. Two things God put on my heart as I was worshiping, that's not in my notes. I need to give it to you now. That he wants to increase your strength. For some of us like Samson. Samson fell into sin. Samson didn't do what God wanted him to do and he got captured by the enemy. He got captured by the Philistines. He was put into a dungeon and at one stage in his captivity he was bound there and he was in captivity and they were having a big party and they were having a big festival to their God. And one of them says, bring out Samson. This guy used to be running amok on the Philistines. This guy was running. Now what he done one time, I love this. Now, he took down the city gates and put them over his shoulder and walked home with them. This guy, like, you know, a bear or a lion, he took the carcass, he took the honey out of it, he took a donkey's jawbone and smashed them all up with the thing. And now he was in dungeon with his eyes gouged out. The man of God brought it out. You know what he says in Judges? Bring him out and let him entertain us. Don't be fooled that there is an enemy that loves to make a mockery of us and bring us into captivity of sin. And then he'd say, and he'd torment you, and he'd bring us out before hell, and he'd say, yeah, there used to be a great man of God. See that woman, I used to see her worshiping and tremble. Now look at him. And he brought him out, and he brought Samson out into the place, and he said, let him entertain us. And he says to the boy that was following, bringing him around, put me between the two pillars. He puts him between two pillars and he says, God, one more time will you strengthen me? One more time will you strengthen me? One, there's some here and you're on the one more time. You're saying, God, one more time. Let me get up out of this. Let me know your strength. Let me know your deliverance. Let me know how to take my enemy down one more time. And you know what God done? The Spirit of God came upon him and he got release of strength that he took all of his enemies out. And that God is not saying no to you. God is saying yes. The Bible says that in Christ, who is the amen of God, that everything is yes and amen in him. So God is not saying, I'm not giving you strength. God is saying, come on, son, ask me. Come on, daughter, ask me. It's my joy to release strength into you. And so there's some here, and you need to respond to God today. He wants to make it beautiful. And Elisha, who was following the man of God called Elijah. And he wanted to go to a new level. And he kept following the man of God around. The man of God says, stay behind him in Jericho. I'm not staying behind, I'm going with you. Because when that strength, that power from heaven falls, I want it. And he followed him and followed him. And some are following and following. Keep following. Because it's dropping down from heaven for you. Keep going. Keep pushing in. Some will say, go to Jericho. Don't go to Jericho. Some will say, go to this. Don't go to that. Don't, you know what? Some of us are at the prefaces of something amazing. And then, stay there. And it's a test. It's a test. God will test your heart. Go on there where it's shiny. Go on there where it's bright. Go on there where it's new. And he'll test you to see, because when you're nearly at the edge, distractions come. And God wants to give you a testimony of someone who has perseverance, because perseverance produces character. And when God has someone of character, he can do anything through them. So keep on pressing in. And he says, why don't you stay there? This was Elijah telling them to stay. He says, I'm not staying there. Then one day the chariots came for him out of heaven. That's the way I want to go home. I want to be walking down the street, walking down Dolphin's Barn. Next minute, a chariot comes out of heaven. I'm like, SCR cabs, you haven't got a patch on us. I'm going home to Dada. The chariot came and took Elijah. And as he went up, the mantle, the strength, the power of God fell. His cloak fell to the ground. And Elijah picked it up. And God wants to bring people to a new level of strength and power. But here's what he had to do in the season. He had to take off the old. Because as you're going through transition, you can't keep the old stuff on you. And it gets, because it gets tighter. And he had to go back and burn the ox and the cart. Remember, he went back and he burned it and he slaughtered the ox and he made a sacrifice to God. There's something to do with the old anointing. There's something to do with the old place. It's not a negative, it's just moving on. Because you can't get through the tunnel of change and transition with the horse and cart. It won't get through. Because the horse and the tunnel and transition of God starts real wide and you can get everything through. But as you go through the transition, it gets tighter and tighter. And you have to bend down and you have to squeeze around a bit. And the old ox is like mewing behind you or whatever the oxes do. And you go, I'm going to have to slaughter that thing. Because you can only get through to the next level. And Elisha picked her up. You know what it says of Elisha? If you study him, he done double the amount of miracles that Elijah done, his the man of God he was following. There's some people that God wants to release a new strength, a new anointing, so that you can go to a new place and do new things in God. Amen. That wasn't even in my notes, Lord, thanks. Let me just give you some scriptures, yeah? Mal, you can put up that verse, or it is up there. David was a man that knew some things in his life. David knew a download of God when a disaster came into his life. There's a scripture, 1 Samuel 30. It's one of my favorite places in the Bible. Let me read it, and you can read it from the screen. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it. This is where David's family was. And had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left. That's a lot of weeping, yeah? David's two wives had been captured. David was greatly distressed because the men were now talking about stoning him. And each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord. David it tells the whole thing itself. He was off going on a raiding party himself, and they sent them back, the Philistines, because they got freaked that he might start attacking them. And then they sent them back, and he gets back, and everything's gone. Everything they worked for, everything they loved, everything that was precious to them was gone. And the men, now, you can imagine going back to this place and your children gone. And they were so, because people didn't survive. That's why the Bible makes sure it says they didn't kill them. They carried them off. Because people, they slaughtered. They just slaughtered when they went into these places. And they came back and the men wept and were so broken. And this was such a disaster in their lives that they wept so hard that they had no strength left. Even if they wanted to go after the enemy who had taken their kids, they had no strength left to go after them because they were exhausted. It doesn't say how long they were crying. They were probably crying for days for all we know. But it says David went and found strength in the Lord. That David went, and the first thing, when he was in distress, he sent up an SOS. The first thing he done, he's like, I need to get a hold of God. I need to seek out my Savior. I need to seek out the Savior so that I can have the strength of the Savior. I need to go somewhere, and I need to find out where he is and find out what's going on. And he went to the side of a hill that he was used to doing, and he sought the Lord. He went on the lookout for his download of strength. He went on. He didn't say, look, I have to do this, I have to do that. The first thing he says, I want strength. I know who's the strength of my heart. That's one of the Psalms. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. And he went and he sought the Lord. And to download strength, we have to be seekers of God. Strength comes from intimacy. Strength, the release of strength. You know when I says, you know, I'll say this again, like that the release of God is there for us, but we have to take it. He's pouring it out, but we have to go with the bucket. He won't just pour it into a vacuum. He won't just go, oh, I'll just let this happen. No, it won't just happen. You have to now position yourself to make it happen, for you to be in receivership of what God is pouring out. And he goes, and he went and sought the Lord. And while he was seeking the Lord, he listened to the Lord. Lord, what's going on? I need to hear from you. And when he heard from God, he obeyed God. He said, yes, Lord. And the secret of knowing the strength of God is seeking him, of listening to him, and obeying what he says to us. And when we obey what he says, well, then the grace of strength is released into our lives, because the grace is there when we see a word of God. So what happens with David? David hears God. God says, pursue them, overtake them, and take back everything. Pursue them, overtake them, and take back everything. Now, if David would have just sitting on the rock and saying, oh, there's a word from God, he would have never known the grace of God that would be released in the word of God. To know the grace that is released and that is wrapped up in every word of God, we have to obey the word of God to know what the release is like. How do we obey the word of God? We step out in faith. David says, he said, go. So as he was going, grace was released to do what God told him to do. That's why James, I think, says that, it's not just about hearing of the word, it's about doing the word. Because you can hear it and not know the grace that's wrapped up in it. But as soon as you start doing it, go, oh my goodness, I'm flying. Oh my goodness, I see new things in my life. Oh my goodness, I'm going after what was robbed, and I'm starting to catch up on my enemy, and I'm starting to overtake what was robbed, and I'm starting to retrieve what was robbed. Amen? Man, I have to find out how this thing keeps going off. Get up, Elder. And then David says, I'm going to seek God. He said to the priest, bring the ephod to me. He inquired of the Lord. And he says, Lord, will I take them? Will I pursue them? And the Lord answered, you will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. That God wants to rescue. He wants to give back. He wants to retrieve. You think your life is gone. You think some things is robbed on you. You think you'll never retrieve certain things. The Bible says that he's able to give back years that locusts have eaten. He's able to give back things that you thought would never retrieve. No, I'll never be happy again. Maybe in your natural self you won't be. Maybe you're pursuing things that won't make you happy in the end won't be. But God says, I can make you happy. I'll never get that joy back. I can give you joy back. I will never have that peace back. You can have that peace back. I will never have that love in a relationship back. You will have it back. You can have it back in God. And the Bible says that David, he went. He sought God, he listened to God, and he obeyed God, and strength was downloaded. And know what the Bible says in the end? He retrieved absolutely everything. Everything back. Everything. Because he listened, he sought God, he listened, and he obeyed God. There's a great scripture that that brings us up into Isaiah says that about those that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. And that's what David did. He waited. He waited. And I don't know how long he waited. I don't know how long it took. And sometimes there's a season of God where you're just waiting. And it's not like a waiting where you're just sitting doing nothing. It's an active wait. It's a wait where you are seeking him. It's a wait where you are going after him. It's a wait sometimes where you're just like, Lord, will you come on? Will you come on? Will you come on? Will you come on? And he doesn't mind that because he knows our heart. He knows, like, we're saying, come on, because we want to get on with it. But sometimes we're not ready. But the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord. And after reading through, it was like Israel was saying, the Lord doesn't care about us. The Lord is never going to bring us out of captivity. The Lord is never going to bring us into the new things. We're always going to be here. And this is how the message says, he doesn't care what happens to me. This is what we're saying. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. He knows everything, inside and out. He energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young men tired and drop out, young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord gets fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Amen. The day that wait upon the Lord can be re-energized. God wants to release the re-energizing of our church into a new place as individuals, that we will walk and not grow weary, that we will run and not grow faint, that we won't lag behind. There's so many have been lagging behind. You go, how come Johnny is making it? How come he's making an impact? How come he's on the teams? How come he's sharing his testimony? How come he's leading the meeting? How come he's leading that team? How come he's leading that meeting? And you've been lagging behind. Well, God wants to energize you to get you back up. He wants to push you back up into the front. No, come on, I want to give you this. I want to give you something fresh. That you are walking. You thought you were doing well, but in the new season, walking with the what are they, men that walk? The walkers. You've been walking with the infantry. He says, but now you'll run with the horses. You've been walking with, yeah, everyone looks great here. New level, God says, here's a new energy. I want to release you to run. Just like Elijah ran and outstripped the chariot and the horse that Ahab was on. He got down to the city before they got to the city because he was energized by God. And God says, those that wait, I want to give you something. Those who are lagging behind, here's something new for you. Here's something fresh for you to catch up with the rest. That will make you soar and help you soar like an eagle. That where you are crawling, I'll cause you to soar above it. Where you are walking along and touching off everything and things touching off you, he says, I will cause you to mount up on the wings like an eagle and you will soar into new places with him. Eagles see further, last longer, goes higher than anyone else. And he says, this is the illustration that I will give you strength. I will refresh you so that you will be able to outlast those that are just on the ground. Amen. He wants to maximize our power to recharge us. This man is going to another level. New level, new power. Because we said last week or 2 weeks ago that there's some that have been found faithful with the little, and God can give you new power. He can trust you now with something else. He can now trust you. It must be an amazing thing in heaven when the Holy Spirit or God, the Father or Jesus, whoever says it, there's a new download. There's a new download for that person. And maybe the Holy Spirit says why. Even though he already knows because he's all known. So it's a bit of a... But imagine he says why. And the Father says, because she's been found faithful. Why is this coming to a person's way? Because he's been found faithful. Why is there an increase in anointing? He's been found faithful. Why is there an increase in responsibility? She's been found faithful. Maximize power for a new level. For a new power. And for a new song. Psalm 40. He puts a new song in my mouth. A hymn of praise. You know what the song was about? The deliverance that God gave him. I was in the mud and the mire. And God came in his strength and took me up. And I had a new strength. Why? Because I was standing on the rock. A rock that was secure and stable. I wasn't rocky or shaking. It was like the rock that doesn't roll. It was secure. And David says he gave me a new song because I had new power, I had new security, I had new strength. And God is going to give people the testimony of Jesus that you're going to know, and you're going to be able to tell people in work, you're going to be able to tell people in school. When they look at you and go, what's happening? You're going to say, this is the testimony of Jesus. It's not a testimony of the world. It's not a testimony of what Egypt can give us. It's not a testimony of a counselor or a pastor or a ministry. It's going to be the testimony of Jesus. You're going to be able to say, Jesus done this in my life. This is the new song. Listen to this one, baby, and you belt out with the song of God. Amen. New levels. And we're going to pray now. It's amazing how God speaks to you. And this all came because that last slide, man. I had this picture when I was praying a couple of weeks ago. I love the Matrix movies. And there's a part in the Matrix. Go home. Google this. YouTube this bit, right? When Neo fights lots of the agents. If you remember that, you'll get the picture, but I'll explain it to you. But there was a new thing going on where the agents could multiply. And all these men in suits and shirts and toys and all that stuff that were the baddies, they came out, and Neo, the hero, is fighting them. And there's only three of them. And he's like, after moving to new levels of realizing who he really was, that's what that was all about, who he really was. And as he came through places of realizing, understanding, and accepting who he was moving on to new levels of power and strength and all that stuff. And here he was fighting all these agents. And he's battering the three of them. So next minute, they start multiplying. And before you know it, there's hundreds and thousands. And it's a fight scene that lasts about 9 minutes. And it's all computer-generated. And it's really, really cool stuff. And anyway, he's smacking them around the place. And eventually, one of them gets in a dig. And he lands on the ground. And with that, about 100,000 agents jump on him, and they're all on him, and it's like one of the whispers in his ear, I forget what he says now, he whispers in his ear as much as say, you're gone now, we have you now, Mr. Neil, and they're on him, and a new strength came, and now that new strength, he's on the ground like this, and he bursts up out of them. And all of these agents are flying off of him everywhere. And then he just goes down again and he takes off flying. And he just starts flying around the place. And it was a new thing. And all the agents looked at each other and went, like, he can fly? He can fly? And out of that, God says to me, I'm going to release a new strength. That there's been things hanging on people. Pushing you down, holding you back like agents of all different kinds, pushing you down and nearly in your ear it's saying, you're gone, you're not going to rise up again, you're not, but God wants to release a new strength that you'll have an ability, like manipulations, another agent on you, you know, pressure from money stuff, another agent on you, the enemy saying you're no good, you saying you're no good, everyone saying you're no good, all these agents, you'll never make it, you'll never do this, and God just wants to give you a release. That you're able to push them off of you. Addictions pushing them off of you. Agents that do not want you to reach your potential in who you are. Even agents could be good things that people are saying, but they're robbery of the best things that God has for us. And that God's going to give you a strength that can just take them all off. And I just say amen. I say amen to that. Because I know that's what I need. Every day. He wants you to take off. How are we going to do this? Amen, Jesus. We just thank you for your presence and your word. And Lord, In faith, we take hold of it. And we release it, Lord God. We release the grace. We release the grace, Father God, by stepping in faith. The grace that's wrapped up in your word. That David was able to come down after receiving the word from God. And the grace that was released, he was able to go down and say to men that had no strength and that wanted to kill him, come on, let's get out of here. We'll take our people back. There was a grace released on David in the word that God gave him. And when he stepped out, when the grace was downloaded, it was released to accomplish what God wanted to be accomplished. And not only did it affect David, but all of the men heard, and the grace was released on them, and that they all could go.